second step, and then Rick Cross will ask you to help us as well.
Yeah, so this is being brought back by a board, from a board member request to talk a little bit more about Assembly Bill 361. It is the resolution that the district can approve to have us enable to meet remotely. So the board could meet remotely like we used to be doing. The community would connect remotely and things like that. The governor did extend the state of emergency in the state of California. So because we're in a state of emergency, we can adopt this resolution if we so choose to. I talked with Dane Wadley, senior field coordinator for CSDA, earlier this week. He said that there are other agencies, other special districts that are adopting this agenda, this resolution to enable them if they so choose to meet remotely. And then you have to, you know, renew it every month. But it just was more of an enabling resolution is how it was being approached by these other agencies. Also, the County of Sacramento has also adopted this. So.
Okay, yeah, can you hear me pretty well? I wanted to bring it back to make sure that as a board, we understand what this is and discuss it, consider approving it, or at least be aware that this is a tool, if you will, that we could approve at another meeting. I have a flyer from the California Department of Public Health from this month, November 2021, reminding us to get our booster shots, to get tested before and after gathering. You know, somebody wants to test before and after every meeting that we have here. Take precautions if some in your group are unvaccinated. For example, wear masks, socialize outdoors, keep gathering short. I don't particularly relish the thought of having board meetings outdoors in December, January, February. So my understanding is that unfortunately the pandemic is not over and we still have household members or members of the public that have underlying health conditions. So I want to bring it back up. To me, this is kind of like version 3.0 of the Brown Act. There's been couple different versions, so it's a little confusing. So, version 1.0 of the Brown Act is what we have followed for years, about noticing public meetings and where it's going to be held. And then version 2.0, I would say, was the pandemic emergency power authority that we had to meet remotely, which we did. And that expired, and now I would call this option, the version 3.0 of the Brown Act, where my understanding is, again, we are in a state of emergency. It's been declared through March 2022. If this board voted to, we could approve a resolution authorizing us to meet remotely. And my understanding is that we would all have to meet remotely as a board.
Zoom. Okay.
Or we all meet together here in this room, and that would be the same for the public, that either the public would attend on Zoom or we would all be here in the room together. It's not going to be a mix and match, and that's partly to do with district resources.
The governor strikes again.
What else? I guess my only question for maybe Jill or Jason. Council is, I thought that if we passed a resolution, let's say we passed a resolution tonight, that would mean our next meetings for the next 30 days would have to be by Zoom. Is that right? Or would we get to decide later?
Over the course, if it were passed tonight, which of course you're not agendized for passing it, but theoretically if you were and it were passed tonight, then you would have somewhat of an option as to whether or not you wanted to meet in person or separately. The challenge with exercising that option and deciding to meet in person is that one of the findings in order to pass the resolution has to be that there's some sort of an imminent threat or a safety threat, a health threat,
right,
that's ongoing. And so if you're continuing to meet in person one day and via Zoom the other, at least in theory, and of course this is too new for any of this to have gone through the courts, but at least in theory it's questionable at that point.
Yeah,
but it says it's an executive order.
I'm not sure exactly which provision you're referring to, Director Wooten, but most likely it's one of the governor's executive orders.
Gavin and Newsom.
Right. And that probably refers to the ongoing state of emergency that California is under, which is what allows this to be passed. Now, one of the challenges we have, and this came up briefly in our last meeting, this is my major objection to AB 361, is that it's only effective if we pass this resolution for 30 days. Which, for instance, I looked at the calendar. If it were passed, if you were able to pass it tonight and it were passed, that would get us beyond the next meeting, which I believe is December 15th. However, if you renewed it on December 15th, the January meeting is more than 30 days after that date, so it would be useless. You'd have to schedule a special meeting to pass it again 30 days or less before the next meeting. I do not understand why they drafted it that way. In my opinion, it was a pretty major oversight because there are organizations that only meet once per month, and there are organizations that meet every other month. Nonetheless, it's what it is, and it's the situation we're in.
So at least consider that. So we can't postpone it till January?
You could absolutely decide to adopt such a resolution allowing remote meeting at a later date. It can't be done tonight simply because you're not. This is for discussion and consideration. You're not agendized for
it. Yeah, and I guess I just wanted to say, I actually had thought this was going to be agendized for potential action, but I just wanted to be able to have a good discussion to understand what it is, so thank you. And I myself think it should continue. I think it should be an action item on a future agenda, just in case it turns out to be more of a safety issue in the county.
Okay, so this is our question portion of this agenda item. So I'll ask the directors, if you have particular questions for clarification or understandings, this is the time that the discussion will come after we do open for public comment. So you have a question, Director Mazet?
I have a question. Is what would trigger this? Is this something that any board member could request or the general manager would request? And then would have to be some sort of formal vote or meeting would have to take place? I mean, what would trigger the whole thing?
At least every 30 days, yes. It would need to be reconsidered and voted on to be effective for all meetings during the following 30 days.
And it sounds like, to clarify your question, sir, but I want to make sure you're getting your question answered. You're asking what would trigger that?
Yes.
Meeting. Any member of the board could request to be agendized, that's where we come up, is that?
That's correct, or if it seems that what the board wants to do is just simply reconsider this every 30 days to permit it, then staff could just put it on the agenda each time there's another meeting for consideration.
And could the general manager also do that?
Yes.
So let's say, for example, I think this is where you're going, Sydney. So let's say we passed it tonight as an enabling resolution. And we're coming up on, the 1st of December, and we're kind of still all in our current state of emergency. Nothing has escalated in our community as far as COVID. Could we meet in person, or would we meet remotely? And if we chose to either one of those, would it be at the discretion of the general manager and the board president?
All right, I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question.
I just figured, trying to understand the process, how that actually could occur.
Yeah. Right, if it were passed, then presumably everyone would be meeting remotely for the following meeting. And if the board wants to consider it again, then the general manager or staff should put it on the agenda at that meeting for reconsideration for the meeting that even follows that. Otherwise, the assumption would be that the meetings would be done remotely so long as this provision is in effect, automatically.
As an example, one of us becomes testing positive for COVID. That would be, in my mind, a sufficient reason, and that would go to the general manager, and then a meeting would have to be held and a vote approved to actually to have that next, make that next meeting?
If the council, excuse me, if the board has not passed such a resolution requiring or allowing remote meeting, then yes, most likely a special meeting would be held in order to decide whether or not it should be done remotely, and the board could make that decision at that time.
And that could happen at any point, at least until March, is my understanding, right?
That's right, and we'll see what they decide to do after that date.
If this was agendized for approval and we were to approve it tonight, the assumption is we would then meet remotely in December.
Yes.
We would what?
Meet remotely in December.
Oh.
So if we pass the resolution, the assumption, or not the assumption, that then it would dictate the district to have all of their public meetings within the next 30 days remotely.
Remotely, yes.
Okay.
So that would require all committees, as well as ARC and board meetings, to all be remote, correct?
I wouldn't necessarily agree that it's required at that point, but it's required that you allow it and that people be able to attend remotely. So there's some method for the public to attend remotely as well. Now, if someone wants to show up in a room, and you don't have to even make that room available to the public, but you have to allow them to attend. But if, for instance, someone didn't have internet access and someone wanted to come here for a meeting, that would be allowed as well.
We have how long to think this over?
Well, the agenda is tonight for discussion, and that's part of what Dr. Carlson really wanted to, at the very beginning, at least, is just for us to, number one, be informed and aware, and number two, be able to use this in the decisions of power. So right now, we're just giving the clarification questions before we bring it back for further discussion. So any other clarification questions? And then that doesn't preclude you from asking questions when we get to discussion, too. Okay. At that point, let's go ahead and open up for public comment, if anybody in the public would like to speak to this. Okay. Then let's go ahead and we'll bring it back. We'll close public comment and bring it back for board discussion.
Just discuss.
Anything you'd like to bring?
I have a couple of comments. So I agree, things, you know, take a turn for the worst, and we need to be in, via Zoom. We could call a special meeting, approve that our following meetings are by Zoom or, you know, remote. To me, that seems like a sufficient solution for us to move forward, having that in our back pocket for moving forward.
I'm sorry, may I add one thing to the discussion before
Absolutely.
You go on? If the sole purpose of the meeting is to consider whether or not to adopt this resolution and allow remote meetings, it actually allows that special meeting to be done remotely, even though the resolution has not been passed before.
Yeah. Okay, so can you repeat that, please? Because I did not pick that up in the language. That's kind of helpful, actually.
Right. If the sole purpose of the special meeting is to determine whether or not there's an emergency situation which requires or makes it advisable to meet remotely, then that special meeting may be done remotely, despite the fact that you haven't yet passed the resolution that you're having the special meeting to discuss passing. And I realize that sounds like a lot of double talk. I'm just trying to say that the option exists for you not to all show up in order to consider whether or not you have to show up.
That's even better. Yeah. For our back pocket.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you for bringing that up. It's, like I said, version 3.0. You know, let's just say two of us had COVID and one of us had a household member who had COVID. You know, we would not want to meet in person and put us, all the rest of us, at risk. So it to pass the resolution to allow us to meet remotely. So I'm glad that at least they thought of that we could meet remotely even if we were all infected and still had the quorum.
Couple of items that I want to put into the consideration in this, and I can speak to that real quick. I guess I would take that situation and approach it like I would any situation. If the board member is sick, they shouldn't come to a meeting. COVID, whatever. They shouldn't come. And so in that case, I'm not
for me, I'm not sure that qualifies. If a board member tests positive for COVID, I'm not sure that that's something that then supplants the rest of the board that then have to go to Zoom. I'm not saying they can't. I just not sure I see it that same way, if that makes sense. One thing that I would, because this is a discussion item and we're going to think about this some more and we're going to come back to it, is I would encourage you to look at the language in this, because as I'm reading it,
I read it.
The context that it strikes me as, this is meant to be for emergency situations. Now,
that's
we
right.
are in a state of death and declared emergency in the state of California. But the language I'm reading as it's giving examples for application sounds more like campfire, caliber fire, situations where something arises quickly and a public agency has trouble even getting together. So, for instance, on attachment 17A, it's talking about impacts on local agency compliance with the Brown Act. In interpreting it, it says, in the context of emergency, members of the legislative body of a local agency may be teleconferencing from less than ideal locations, you know, the private domicile of a friend or relative, hotel room, evac center, etc. The one right underneath it says, emergencies can and often do happen quickly. As was the case with the 2018 campfire, individuals fleeing a disaster area may end up in disparate locations throughout the state. And the examples that I read through this seem to give the primary impression that this is to allow for situations that come up unexpected, that make it difficult for board members to meet, as campfire, as Keldor, all that. So I'm just putting it out there not to say that it excludes the application of the word, because I think what Director Carlson is saying can be applied to this. But I want to make sure that we understand partly, first of all, what's the intent of this? And is that what we would want to do in applying it? If it's simply we're just not comfortable meeting together because the potential of what the code might do, et cetera, et cetera, I'm not sure if that fits within the parameters. If we find in our county that cases are rising, we're hitting a season where it's much more serious, that feels more within the intent. Now, I don't say that, again, to exclude the application that we're under a state of emergency and there's concern about COVID. It sounds to me that it does apply here, and based on there's a great summary page at the end of this, an executive summary, if you haven't gotten to take a look at that.
17B.
I'm sorry, I'm not looking at the wrong page.
Thank you, Bert.
No, that's not the one I'm looking for.
Boy, this sure tells me.
The last. Are you looking at the last page on the sequence?
Yep.
That's not what I'm looking for. Oh, here we go. I'm sorry. It's still 17A. It just says enacted it, and it just says a local agency wishing to rely on this must meet one of the following criteria. A, the local agency is holding a meeting during a claimed state of emergency, and state or local officials have imposed recommended measures for social distancing. That's it. The local agency, B, is holding a meeting during a proclaimed state of emergency for the purposes of determining whether as a result of the emergency meeting person would present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees. And that's where I see the language of present imminent risks sounds a little more defining. And then C, the local agency is holding a meeting during a proclaimed state of emergency and has determined by majority vote that as a result of the emergency, meeting in person can present imminent risks. So there's three mechanisms there to make a decision on the qualifiers. And I think what Director Carlson has said, all of those would work in this situation. So I think the mechanisms are, I would want to think a little more if the intent of this is what we're thinking. And I would like to continue to hear from directors, because part of this is also, it's the safety of the board, the safety of the public, but it's also what does the public want in terms of access to meetings. Would they prefer Zoom? Would they prefer in person? Our experience was when we met for Zoom over the last year or so, correct me if I'm wrong, I didn't see much of any change in terms of attendance from when we met in person. So I don't know if that has an impact, but that's just a fact. And then I would encourage us, as we talk about this before next time, ask your neighbors, ask your friends, what would they prefer? How would they prefer this to go for them to be able to access this? And then I would bring that back. for our discussion.
I don't see why we have a discussion next time. It seems like we have the information that we need if we were in a state of emergency, the fire, the community center burns down, we can't meet here, for example. COVID goes berserk and we have everybody's sick, whole community sick, and we can't meet, we need to meet remotely. We have a mechanism here in place to do that. I don't think that we need to take any action on this except for knowing it is available to us in the future should we need it.
Yes, I agree. Because I don't think I want to take any action on this at this point.
And part of my comment was to simply make sure that any decision we make does reflect the desire of the community. As best as we can tell.
Yeah, but I don't think that was in the list that you said.
Going on for me to read thoroughly.
It was for... Is it easier for the community to attend because it's over Zoom? That wasn't what we read. It was more as if we cannot meet for the emergency such that there's no preference allowed from what I understood that we read. And so therefore, that's not pertinent.
And it is pertinent because if I'm understanding Director Carlson correctly, we qualify right now. We could, it's not on the agenda, but we could pass this resolution tonight simply based on the fact that there's a declared state emergency and a majority of the board would like to enact it. And council can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems that based on these qualifications, we could do that tonight had it been agendized.
Well, that's what I was going to add, Director Hasten. If it had been agendized, yes, I think communities... in a situation very similar to Cameron Park, have chosen not to adopt it and have chosen to adopt it.
So what I'm saying is it's possible to do now without waiting for what we would qualify as. I mean, we're already in a state of emergency. What would change that to then make the board want to do that differently?
Well, maybe I should be more direct. I don't think we need to take any action on this. I feel like we've had a good discussion. I've learned more about it. But I don't think we should spend any more time on it. I think we should only do it if we need to.
And I would agree with that.
Okay. Any other comments for discussion on this?
I'll comment again, but I just wanted to consider if you have anything you wanted to add.
No, I don't. I agree with what Scobie said. I think we've got the tools to use this if we need to, and I think we've had a pretty full and complete conversation about all the possibilities, and we'll deal with it if it comes. It's just there.
Great. So I'm really grateful for everybody having a conversation and us more or less getting an understanding of Brown Act 3.0. And I'm thinking it doesn't sound like we, at this point, are wanting it agendized kind of going forward. However, if for whatever reason, you discover someone in your household is more vulnerable than you realize, for whatever reason, one of us could request
stay home
or even request a special meeting.
Yeah, and per policy, it's the board president and the general manager that, sets agendas and calls for these special meetings. And so if a board member was like, hey, wait a minute, this is escalating in our community, the COVID cases, I really think that we need to, consider this resolution. They would call me, and then the president, whoever that president is, and I would have a conversation about getting together on a special meeting. Okay?
I guess my last question, how onerous a task would that be from your point of view?
Not onerous. I mean, I think that, it would be a high priority, and so we would get it done.
Okay. So just to clarify, we walk away with the same understanding. This is here as a tool for us. Should at any point any of the board members decide that they would like to see this agendized, they can bring that to the city president, chair, general manager, and then bring that forward at the next board meeting. Or if circumstances warrant, they can ask the president and general manager to call a special meeting
to discuss the resolution. Now, can one person go on Zoom if the rest are here? to follow in?
No, the idea behind this is it's all or nothing, one way or the other. It's either all in person or all on Zoom. And as Dr. Carlson went to, that's primarily because to go hybrid, we simply don't have the resources or the ability to do that properly, effectively, as other larger agencies do.
Okay.
All right, so we know this is a tool, and we know what we can do to bring this about. Sorry. Thank you, Dr. Carlson. I appreciate you bringing this forward with us again. Okay. So with that, we move past our general business. Now we move into board information items. We'll start with committee chair report outs. And we'll start with budget and administration. I'll pick that one up. If you got a chance to look at the agenda there, part of that was also the El Dorado disposal presentation that came tonight. We wanted the board to have that. You're just going to have some impact on us. The Accountability Act report, which came forward under consent, and then first quarter fiscal year budget and actuals. If you did not get a chance to look at that, please do. The first quarters are always a little off because of when expenses fall, when revenues fall, all of that. But the general sense of it is things are in good shape. We're pacing along well as they have previous years. So we feel good about where we're at in this first quarter. And that was the biggest extent of what we have for budget and admin. Anything to add, Director Carlson?
No, nothing else.
Okay. All right, next, CC&R committee.
Yes. The CC&R committee is being, the handbook is being revised. It was a little overdone the last time, hence the revision. This revision provides committee members with a much more simplified guide to the position of a CC&R committee member. And the other one was CC&R assistant. They have been looking for one to secure for a new part-time assistant in the CC&R department. Feel free to ask staff when you get to item A how much about how that research for an assistant is going. And truthfully, at this point, I don't know. I don't know. Jill, do you know?
Yeah, we're in a... there is a candidate pending right now.
Mm-hmm. Pending?
Yeah, a candidate is pending right now.
We have a pending candidate now. And that's really about it.
Dr. Scobie, anything to add to that?
Nothing to add.
All right, next is Fire and Emergency Services Committee, which did not officially meet, if I'm understanding that right. Was there anything else to report out of that?
We just had an informal discussion regarding the grants because I always have a mountain of questions. So Josh was kind to go through it. So, no, I guess all those other items will be pushed forward to the next meeting.
Is that correct? Okay. Great. All right, then Parks and Rec Committee. Director Carlson.
Yes, we had a rousing meeting. We had over 100 people here in the room. Absolutely. It was exciting. We got more than 100 people here from Cameron Park.
I missed that one.
And Mr. Harris, who spoke this evening, he did a very nice presentation on RAS. The private plot of land is about 104 acres behind RAS Houston Park. That many residents, he estimated 30,000 people a year, 30,000 visits a year onto that private land. And the members of the public shared really heartwarming stories that I'm really glad the Mountain Democrats captured some of these stories. They could be made into a like beautiful children's book about the pond. So it was not an agendized vote. It was a presentation, and Sid and I listened to the heartfelt wish of the people in the room that the land behind Rasmussen be made into a public park in pending sale to, as you learned, it is apparently pending sale to the developed, so I guess under threat. We also had six other agenda items that evening, and unfortunately most of the members of the public didn't stick around. That was the other agenda items, but we looked at the facility use fee schedule, a categorical exemption for the splash pad, which I think was because it was already a facility, it was already a lagoon, so it could be exempted from certain approvals that normally you would have to apply for. We did discuss the ad hoc committee for splash playground fundraising and agreed that we would move forward with, right, Jill, can you speak on that, please?
Yeah, the Parks and Rec Committee asked us to come back with a framework. So whenever we have approved a board ad hoc committee, we've always provided the board with framework that they approve so that there is a beginning and an end and everybody's buying into that. So we will provide that to Parks and Rec in December.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll come up to the board.
Yeah. And then we have the staff all written updates. And I'm just going to bring up the lights at Krista McAuliffe. I'm not sure if this was part of the meeting, but as we all know, the lights at Krista McAuliffe, there are not enough lights, basically, at Krista McAuliffe Park, and it's very, very, very dark. My husband was volunteering to lock the park up in between security companies, and he brought it to my attention. I brought it to my attention. Mike already knew this, but Mike came forward with a couple of quotes for solar lights, and I'm going to call them the university version and the varsity version. The university version is pretty affordable. It's like in the hundreds of dollars to get some solar lights in there. It's just that they'd be really easy to knock out if you were so inclined. And the varsity version would be more in the thousands of dollars, would be more sturdy and hard to knock out if you were so inclined. I hope everybody keeps that in mind as we go forward in the next months, because I think these could be really worthwhile of finding some funding or raising some funding, et cetera, for additional safety at some calls. And that is pretty much it. Sid or staff, did you have anything else you want?
Yeah, there's two more things. Mike had a meeting at the skate park with very good attendance. And I think good response, and that's a real good partnership for lots and lots of reasons. And as I understood, a lot of them felt it was out-of-town people coming and doing the damage. So anyway, that's a good partnership. And then our rec people, I was impressed, as always were, the Halloween event. And they estimated 400 people, and I was just amazed by how you can park that many cars around here. So, and it was the first time, and then I was also impressed, how could you, in this day and age, get so many people to come, and so many people thanked us, and we're so grateful, and it's knowing how to use social media. So our rec people just did it above and beyond, just quite extraordinary to get that up and running, and it was a really fun event. I think will be an annual event. So it was, it was a really fun meeting that day with all the good things that we've been able to do.
If I can ask just a couple questions on some of those items. On those solar lights for Krista McAuliffe, is that primarily safety? Does that also allow for more night use versus what we have now?
It allows for the police to know what's going on.
I think the thought to that is to kind of light up the area to detour people from hanging out there at night. Kind of lights it up, makes it more visible to the public, and keeps people away. So it's really easy to hop the fence and hide there all night long.
Okay, would that be for the whole park?
I think we're looking at just the skate park at this point. Putting some more lights and eyes on the skate park.
Okay, I didn't catch that part.
Because there's stuff going on there at night you cannot see back there.
Okay.
At all. So.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that clarification. And then there's something on here about the health of our Christmas tree.
Yes. Yeah. I actually have an update on that. Found out a lot of stuff today. So I spoke to the Parks and Rec Committee about the Christmas tree. It was in decline. And so we had an arborist come look at it. And we had our pest control advisor come out today to take a look at it. So the tree is suffering from what looks like to be root rot. appears that the tree was planted a little bit below grade and probably planted in this big bowl that sits with water. And to make a long story short, you can shake the tree with your hand and you can see the ground move. The roots have left that spot where the ground's dug up. So on a good note, I did reach out to one of our tree contractors this year, and it sounds like we are going to be in the works of developing a partnership to have one of our tree contractors decorate our tree for us for free. Moving forward, we're just going to pick a tree or two that are over by the skate park this year, some of those redwoods that are healthy and vibrant. And there is an opportunity to apply some maintenance methods to save the tree that's there now. I'm just working on some cost estimates on some different kinds of applications to see if it's worth our while or not at this point. So it's bad that the tree's in decline and not doing too well, but it gave us the opportunity to reach out to someone who might be able to help us decorate the tree and turn it into a good thing at the end. So there'll be more to come as we, you know, get some cost estimates on the tree and what direction we want to go, if we want to invest in it or not at this point.
In the short term, there will be a Christmas tree.
Absolutely.
This year.
Yeah. Okay. We met our third day.
And this is the second tree that we've lost in this location.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Where is the Christmas tree going?
I'm sorry.
Here.
All right.
In this.
That brings us to the end of our committee reports.
We're going to decorate a tree at Krista McCullough.
Now move on to general matters to and from board members and staff. So let's start with upcoming trainings, community meetings, and solar project update, and then we'll go to general matters. So general manager,
The CSDA Gold Country chapter that had trying to organize that parliamentary procedures workshop, it kind of fell apart. So the Gold Country chapter is struggling for a membership, and so I saw Dane earlier this week, he's going to kind of reinstitute this in the first of the year. So, yes, we've got the tri-chamber mixer on December 15th. Thank you, Ellie. Dane came by on Monday, and we did a video. So he had some questions for me. They post video of different general managers and, you know, why CSDA is such a great place, you know, great organization, and how CSDA has helped different communities. And so I was interviewed, and I'll be on their Facebook or something. And so he's going to send the link, and I'll share it with everybody. We'll tag it up. So that was happening. Other than that, all has been quiet.
And no solar project update?
Solar project is rolling along. We're supposed to be live by the end of the year. You met with them Tuesday. Nothing?
I know that Callum met with Bright Energy late last week or first part of this week and passed the fire inspection on it. So that's rolled through. So it's just a matter of, I think, if you flip the switch at this point.
Yeah.
Which we don't have a firm date, but I would imagine anytime.
Yeah.
We would be live. There are all the bunch of list items at Bright, and they got one or two small items left, but they were out there working on the canopy lighting today, which should be up and running by Friday.
Yeah. Mike identified a trip hazard out there. I think you guys may have seen it. It comes up a little bit off of the ground, but they've got a solution for that. They're going to stick a light on it. So a bollard and a light. So.
Okay, let's move to general matters to front board members and staff. We'll just work our way down the table. Director Scobie, who would you be willing to go first?
The blue bag was amazing. It was so funny to watch Kim and Kayla going, "Where do those people come from?" And when I got here, it was absolutely packed. I barely got a parking space. It was super cool.
It was a Halloween event.
And then I went to Edgewack, and that was interesting. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what's going on there at Edgewack. But I don't think that they're as effective as they could be. But I don't really, not educated enough to do anything about it yet. But I'll work at it. And those are what I have to share.
Director Bazet?
I think the high point for me was that Blue Dash, I guess it was called, right?
Yeah. I just have to really put out a word on Kayla. She was, I think it was in this room, and she was the judge. Were you judging too?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were too. And it was some of the most amazing costumes and creativity. You had whole family members that were matching. And I kind of manned the front booth, and there was one family of five that were all matching. I don't even remember what the theme was, but there wasn't a category for something that large. And so, but Kayla just brought positive energy and laughter, and it was just she's just a remarkable person.
Yes,
she really is. But the whole event was amazing. Something to be, we should all be very proud of. We actually, what I discovered, I ran out of candy. I actually was at my van out there, and they were hoarding back candy. I didn't know about that till later. They had apparently candy everywhere, and I didn't know. But anyway, our communication broke down on a few things.
Thank you. Director Carlson.
Okay, I just want to acknowledge, I think tonight is Jill's last night as a solo general
yes.
manager for a board meeting, and that next month it will be you plus the new general manager mm-hmm. shadowing, so it's a big deal, really, mm-hmm. so thank you for bringing us to this place, I really appreciate it. And then I had a great conversation with Jill, actually, in preparation for this meeting. I've been wanting to talk to somebody about how to reach out to the multifamily residences in Cameron Park, and Jill helped me sort of broaden that thought to, you know, other things we have all talked about as a board, and how do we reach out to the community in general. And so I encourage my fellow board members next year to let's keep this idea going of trying to have meetings outside of here. You know, let's try to have them in the different neighborhoods. Let's try to have them at the fire stations. I would like to have meetings in, Jill is suggesting maybe the parking lots of the multifamily residences. And our fire crew have a relationship with the multifamily residences for inspections. And I want to build on that and make sure all these different neighborhoods know about our programs. They know that we have jobs available, and then, you know, we have relationships as well. If there's issues that don't quite fall into CCNR, but they're a bit of an eyesore. So let's keep rolling with that. I think Andre's going to be a really great resource he seems like he's just can't wait to get out into the community. So let's keep that in mind next year for meeting outside of this room, out into the community. And so that's all I have. I will just say the Blue Bash I felt was a really magical night and kind of a turning point, I really hope, for our community to feel like a community. And I think I credit Kayla as well, I think, with social media. I'm thinking that the social media is going to go for community events, and so hopefully we've got more to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Carlson. On the next. A couple things that I've been working on this last month. Some of you we're aware that the county has been discussing the American Rescue Plan Act funds. And so Jill and I have worked on that to talk about and present to the Board of Supervisors, simply because in that, the CAO's presentation to the board on recommendations for how to use that money, Cameron Park's proposal was not a part of it. And so, I don't remember the date, was that Tuesday, beginning of the month? We went to the Board of Supervisors meeting. Jill was great to grab a seat for me because the place was not packed. But for a 2:00 agenda item, we got to start talking about it at 3:30, and then actually got to address the Board of Supervisors at 5:30 for the 3 minutes of the speech. But the idea was to just make an appeal to them to recognize Cameron Park as part of the infrastructure of our county. And our space here as an evac center in recent days was a great example of that. Unfortunately, when the board brought that back the next week for discussion, they would have moved ahead with recommendations without Cameron Park as a part of that. So that was really, really disappointing. However, I think it helped, as Jill said, it put us a little more on the radar. We sent the letters to some supervisors,
Director Parlin, and Supervisor Parlin in particular, has interacted with us and has asked to talk some more about that, because not all of the funds were allocated. Not all the funds are being put out to use. So there is potential in the future for us to revisit that with the Board of Supervisors. Now, what that would mean down the road, I don't know. Hopefully our district will thrive and will be in great shape, and they might not see as much cost to help us recover those funds. However, there is still possibility down the road. The second piece was, if you have been tracking, and I've mentioned this in a previous meeting, the redistricting work that's being done out of the census. The supervisors brought that down to 4 maps, and Jill and I looked at that a few days ago to then talk with Supervisor Parlin about here's what we think is most beneficial for Cameron Park. And the truth is 3 of the 4 are almost identical in terms of how they carve up Cameron Park into the districts. The major difference was one of them put Cameron Park in District 4 versus District 2, where it is now. So you can take a look at that. I don't know. I didn't hear if they had moved on that.
I'm sure they did. I don't know what they did, though.
Yeah, I haven't heard the verdict on that yet. But I bring that to your attention, partly because it was happening. It's important that everybody has an opinion. One of the proposals that didn't get approved, but is worth paying attention to, was to actually split Cameron Park in half. And it was on a suburban center idea, meaning Cameron Park and Eldorado Hills are both kind of the suburban centers of the county. And so split us in half and split Eldorado Hills in half and put them in 2 different districts. Unfortunately, what that does is, because of Cameron Park's population, it puts Cameron Park's population at a minority, if that is what they want. And I'm bringing that to your attention because I would like us to be paying attention to that moving forward, and hopefully 10 years down the road when this happens again, somebody's paying attention. But I want to make sure that our district has the right kind of voice. It looks like regardless of the decision, that will happen this time. There's a lot happening. And it's going to be worth paying attention to where developments go in our area. So there's proposals of rescue, some of the properties. There's more stuff happening in Eldorado Hills because south of 50, off of Latrobe Road there, part of that is our district. And all of that new development out there becomes part of our district. And those are now voters for district. So that's just an awareness thing. Again, Supervisor Parlin has been really good at communicating on that, so I appreciate your feedback from it. So just be paying attention to that. One last thing, just to echo some of what good stuff that's happening. I was in the office the other day, and Kim told me that the basketball program that they're doing, they're revamping how they're doing this, it filled up like within a week and a half. 2 weeks of it going out. Mm-hmm. And so they're looking at, can we expand this a little more? So it's just exciting to see another program that we're putting back out there fill it up. And that's meeting some of what we really wanted to do 2 years ago when everything got shut down, which is to create programs that are effective and bring in the most people for the best price. So really excited about that. That's my report for today.
I wasn't there.
It's also worth one other thing I should probably report is to follow up with Director Carlson. As our new general manager is coming in, we're going to be communicating with him. Friday is his last day at St. Helena, and he will have about a week and a half before he even comes on staff and starts working with us here. We'll be doing some communication with him along the way to help set him up, but I just encourage you as directors to be checking in and cheering and embracing this. These are good days ahead. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. Director Wood, do you have any matters to refer?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Oh, basically.
Anything else, General Manager?
Nope.
Eric,
yes.
One more thing. I also wanted to thank Mike because you and I went and met with him and he took his time out and spent, I don't know, an hour more with us going over and reviewing the splashing playground. So I think you got some good stuff out of there. I'm not sure where that information is going to trickle back to.
That will be my parks work next time, right?
Okay. And so I really appreciate that. And he set that all together, and Callan was there. So I was able to get all my engineering questions done about the dam, which is what I really wanted. on that diet. And then I also want to thank Eric and Felicity for all of your hard work in shepherding us through our general manager search, and you guys working with them, doing the additional work, and can't thank you enough. I mean, I know how much work it is, both of you guys. I know your different roles and so forth, and I just, from all of us, we thank you for your assistance, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Dr. Scott. Okay, so with that, we are finished with general matters to board members and staff. So it is time to adjourn our meeting. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
We have a second.
I second it.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. All right. So we will officially adjourn our meeting at 9:01 p.m. Thank you, everybody.
Done, but it's awfully close.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah,
no, one more.
Well, thank you.
I didn't count those. Or originally. I kind of bored.
Yes, yes. I understand that completely. And I want to ask you also, when I talk to you, did you go driving across country?
It was good.
Yeah. Was it Massachusetts or Maine? Or
it was Cape Cod. In Massachusetts.
How's she doing out there?
Yeah, she's doing pretty good.
Yeah. You got it now. So you drove out. Did you
fly back?
Back?
Oh,
yeah.
Except for when I'm not.
And how long is the drive?
We left.
It's all good.
And I didn't get Thursday to follow at 7 a.m. Half to 4.
Of course, yeah. Setting anytime.
That was right. Right.
Anytime.
On Sunday. Okay. The following Sunday. Or Sunday, 10 days.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
Yeah.
How fast did you drive? Yeah,
how are
you?
Right. What's that? Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Really
that's like the second time it's run.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Was the weather all okay?
There was only one day where we got waylaid because of weather, and we just pulled off the highway. We couldn't see.
Snow, rain?
Rain. It was rain, and we were up on 80, and there was the trucks and all that kind of stuff. So it was just really...
So Donna's
we just couldn't see. So we pulled off at lunch and it didn't let up, and we were like, okay, we're packing it in for the day.
That's
so
far we went today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's so, half a day.
If you get an accident, you're going to be delayed a lot more.
Right. We spent half a day at Niagara Falls, a morning in Niagara Falls. It was pretty amazing. That just
how would I attend a meeting?
Well, it was right off this cliff. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. Here,
yeah.
So we spent an afternoon and then the following morning in Boston.
In the room. You know, it just raises a lot of interesting issues that are
or
my wife and I did that.
I missed a meeting and you have barely a quorum.
Yeah, it was.
Right. Yeah.
And then we.
I mean, it's just an interesting time because we've kind of shown we can do things.
Very nice.
Anyway, just it's funny, but
she's
is that
liking it out there?
What you're asking is that true?
She lives in this area.
That
yeah.
Okay, so this can be an interesting
somebody, yeah.
Well, actually, yeah. Well, we're in college, so we get snow, and then also.
No, I heard it. I could see it both ways because
she lived in Louisville, and so she's used to that coastal
Okay, yeah. It's a little bit of an
issue.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
My father, when he got out of the Marine Corps, her sister was from Boston.
Yeah, so I'm
and
not
it was
sure
already
that quite close,
like,
but, you know, when it is, or
I did not
I
even
take
have
a leave,
call.
Or, you know,
and
I don't know.
And I think a stewardess or some airline person put a pity on him and gave him something so I could at least get across the tarmac into the...
That's funny. I'm going to go to the restroom. I mean, but do you have a few minutes?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Okay, that would be great.
So now she's so vulnerable. She has little protection anyway with the bloodborne cancer. Yeah. So anyway, it's just an interesting conversation. Yeah, and I don't have an answer, but I'm glad we're having a full conversation because what does that look like? Because you can't, how do you contribute and do what you're supposed to do or not?
As a board member?
As a board member, yeah. Well, okay. But I'm just saying it's more than hypothetical, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you're not here, or if you're not
or could I be in this building that's in another room? I mean, I don't know. What does that look like?
For me, that would be reasonable. You know, if we vote on it, and if that's what people want to do.
Yeah.
Why can't you just miss a meeting?
It's just that it's over several months, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. So the it's a 3-week protocol for the chemo, but it's the stem cell replacement is like a 4-month process. Apparently, and I have a friend who's doing it right now at Stanford, and it's pretty awful, apparently. But they have apartments right here in the hospital there. So, but Eric's right, I might not be able to. I may just be looking at a door or window, you know, that may be all I can do. We're learning everything right now, so it's can I contribute or not, or be a part of it or not, you know, whatever that looks like, so we'll figure it out. And it's too bad the hybrid isn't a possibility, because, I mean, the reason I thought about it before is, what if
they've got some question they want to talk about. Okay. I think she's just trying to explain why she's leaving now rather than wait for you guys to clear out. Good night.
I need to fill in that one, yeah. Okay. Okay.
What's that?
Okay, sounds good. I'll do that.
All right.
I'll take it with me. Yeah, I'll do it.
Tough because the state is not really making the help for to figure it out.
We're rural, you know? Replacing all those garbage trucks when you need the power of a diesel to make the hills?
Yeah. It's frustrating. That was part of my question of, is there something we can do to just say to somebody, help us, please, because this is not good.
Oh, and the cost is just it's huge.
Astronomical.
Okay, I'm going to bring that back to Bernie. Okay, sounds good.
I'm going to take this so that I have it. All right.
advocate, and thank you for advocating for us at the board. I'll tell you.
No, I'm glad to. I was talking with Jill and looking at our district maps, mm-hmm, and our lines. And if you haven't looked at it, you should.
Yeah, no, I haven't.
Because there are a couple of areas that should be, let me make sure I got my piece, like Metro Drive, that should be in our district. You look at the map, but how did that not get included in our CS town as well? When those developments and so the developers, well, they're not going to purposely pay more money to get parks in the field. So there's just money.
so they go on the floor on that side.
Okay, cool. That's it.
Yeah. Tables and five chairs per table.
Okay.